Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I am Angela Butler. I'm waiting for my guest to call in. It should be a very informative show. The guest is Charles Alvin Allen, Jr. III, and he will be talking about his studies of the Nile Valley. But while we wait on him, I'm going to play a segment of one of my shows.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Get your hands for Angela.
Show Talk with Angela Butler. As I was saying earlier, the guest tonight is Mr. Charles Alvin Allen, Jr. III. He is on Show Talk with Angela Butler. How are you doing, Charles? Hello?
I'm a listener. I just called to listen to the old.
Okay, then. All right.
UAM.
Is Mr. Charles Alvin Jr. on the phone? Hello? Is Charles Alvin Allen Jr. III on the phone?
Hi,
Mr. Reggie. How are you doing?
Good. I just called him and gave him the number again. You know, he said he was going to call right away and stuff. You know, hopefully he got the right number. I don't know why he's going to have it.
Should
be calling in a minute now, okay?
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to give you a little background information on Charles Alvin Allen, Jr. III. He is a study of, he studies different things, psychology, spirituality, different religions, and he's very good at what he does. He's a student of it. He's also considered an activist because he educates people about the ancient spiritual teaching. And he's also, he's going to be teaching us and educating people about the ancient teachings, the beginning of civilization about the Nile Valley. So while we're waiting on him to call in, I'm going to talk also, I want everyone to know that I have a book that's called Charles and Melinda. It is about a fictional couple who were born and raised in the South. during the period of segregation in Mobile and Mississippi, Alabama and Mississippi. So my book is on Amazon.com. For those of you who would like to read the book, go to Amazon.com, type in Charles and Melinda by Angela DeLois Butler, and it should pop up. It's not a very long book, but it's a good book. It deals with Jim Crow, segregation. It deals with it all. So that this young couple goes through and they fall in love and marry during this time period. I have another book that hopefully will be out in January. And it's an inspirational book. It's an inspirational short stories book. And this summer, I may have another book coming out about my life with diabetes. So while we wait, Mr. Charles Alvin, are you on the phone yet? All right, there you are. I see you. Hi. Hi, Charles Alvin, Allen Jr. III. Welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler.
Okay, how you doing?
I'm okay. Had a little bit of confusion there, didn't we?
Hello?
Yeah, okay. So I was just explaining to the people listening and those who
are going to
go back to the archives and listen to this show, that you're an activist who educates people about
Angels. I can't hear anything. Maybe I should call back. Hello?
You can't hear me?
I'm going to hang up and call right back because I don't hear nothing.
All right.
I heard him well. He's going to call back.
Okay. All right. That's fine. So I thank you, Mr. Reggie, for introducing me to Charles.
Well, he said he's going to do Dr. Ben and Dr. Jeffries and Dr. Quasi. So we're going to see if he got the knowledge. We shall see.
Okay. He'll be teaching me something I know very little about.
Yeah, we all still can learn.
Yes, people still can. So he's a student of different studies. I think that's wonderful.
Yes. I don't know what took you so long to call you back. And so you saw him on the computer last time?
Sir?
You know his number, right? It's 859. 859. You know his number. This is his number, 859.
Yes, I have. And I'm trying to call, but nobody's answering.
He's probably
calling from a different number. He said he's going to come back on, so I'm just going to wait a little bit here.
We got to just wait till he calls. I don't know why, you know, what took you so long. Should he call you at 7 o'clock on the dot? I don't know what his call was.
There he is. Well, he hung up. He hung up. I just saw his phone, he hung up. Well, this thing's happening, people. Technology can be good sometimes, and then sometimes it can be a real hindrance.
Well, we can do it three-way and stuff. He spoke to me, he heard me, and if nothing else and stuff, right, maybe I can just call him and then put him on three-way. If he hang up again and stuff, if he don't get to it, so then I'm about to call him.
A couple of more callers have hung up, too. But they can always go back to the archives. They can always go back to the archives and listen.
Yeah.
It's going to be really educational.
How they act together and stuff. Don't go on no show if you're not going to, be appropriate and stuff. It's ridiculous.
Mr. Charles, are you on the line? Mr. Alvin? Okay, guess not. Guess you just called to listen. That's fine, too. So, like I said, Mr. Charles Alvin Jr. is the student who studies a lot of different religions, psychology, civilization, all sorts of things. And tonight the topic is going to be about the Nile Valley, which I believe originated in Africa. But, of course, he's much more qualified to talk about it than me. So just wait a little longer. like I said, I have a book coming out, Charles and Melinda. It's already out. It's on Amazon.com and in some bookstores. So those of you who are interested in learning more about the past here in the South where I live, there's a fictional couple that I wrote about. The name is Charles and Melinda. And it talks about Jim Crow and debtor's prison, all sorts of things. So it should be very interesting. It's a short book, though. It's under the name Angela Dolores Butler.
Oh.
Well, I'm going to try to play some music here. Let's see, what can I get going here? If I get anything going.
I got a voice message and stuff, you know. I don't know what's going on.
Okay. All right. Well, would you like to talk, Mr. Reggie?
No. Actually,
no.
I won't. Charles,
put you on the spot on that.
That's true.
Well, people, I don't know, those of you who are new listeners, I did a show a few months back about the Innocent Project. It's where they have been people get off death row through DNA. Hello? Hold on.
Hello.
Hello, this is Charles Alvin Allen Jr. III. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, welcome to the show.
I have no trouble getting through.
No, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It'll be all right. So as I was telling the people listening, you're a student that studies religion, civilization, spiritual teachings. We also study religions of the world, world history, business, psychology, music, and this is something I do not understand. And forgive me if I pronounce it wrong. Egyptology. Yeah. What is that? Explain that to me. Explain that word to me. Give it meaning.
Well, Egyptology is the science it's basically the study of Egypt. They made it into a science that, like, there's no black Egyptologists. Like, the school that you got to go to get a degree in Egyptology, like, no black person have ever got a degree in Egyptology from there. So it's evidently, I mean, it seemed like to me it's a science to keep black people from learning very much about Egypt.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. So the teachings that you talk about, you're going to educate me and other people about the Nile Valley, since you are also a student of different cultures. And I'd like to know, and for everyone else to know, how did these teachings start, and where they originate from?
Okay. Well, from what I know, it starts from the creation story, which begins in Nubia, what they call Ethiopia, and then it goes up the Nile River, and the way that it's told is like the Egyptians developed these teachings, but the way the teachings, if you read the teachings for yourself, it's like well, they was brought down by men, but it's like the laws of God. The law of God, and it was brought down. Dang, I know I'm sounding kind of fucked right now, but.
That's okay. You're doing fine. You're doing fine. You were saying that the Nile Valley is in the creation story are kind of the same, right? Is that what you're saying? And it originated over in the continent Africa.
Okay, yeah. Well, the creation story is very intricate. The difference of the creation story of the black man in Egypt is it starts with the mother goddess. And she made the man god for herself. So I mean, history, like the way history is played out, to where at that, like, the time of the first dynasty king of Egypt, and on down a little, well, a couple more thousand years, you know, the people from there, from the black land, they control global commerce. Because according to the story, the first dynasty king, Asar, who they refer to in Latin as Osiris, he conquered all nations with no weapons, only music and eloquence.
Oh, wow.
And, okay. And like, you know, at the, what they call the BC day, I mean, where it goes into the Caesarian calendar, the calendar we up under now, and the rulership that we up under now.
Yes.
It seemed like they switched. Well, just studying it for me, it seemed like that's when they switched the from a matriarchy to a patriarchy, like the worship of.
Okay, someone please silence.
Basically,
the phone.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Basically, like now, we if you see pictures of God, well, like the pictures that they have from, I don't know who it was, Michelangelo or Leonardo or something, and it's the white hand and the old white man in the sky and all that.
Okay.
But in the beginning, it was the mother goddess was first.
The mother goddess was first in the Egyptology? Okay.
Yeah, according to the story of the Egyptians, yeah.
Now, I'm going to get a little bit off topic because we're talking about the Nile Valley and the ancient spiritual teachings of our ancestors. And you talk, I know, I understand a little bit about you talking about how we started creation. And there was a time when pretty much Africa ruled the world in commerce and just a lot of things. And
well, I want to say we started creation, but you know, we was like, well, it's coming to, it's like a lot of people was getting enlightened and they feel like, you know, I mean, black people was really learning about our history.
Adam and Eve.
Say what?
I was talking about Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve?
Go ahead, sir. Yeah, yeah, I was talking about Adam and Eve when I said it started creation. Yes, sir.
Okay, well, the story of Adam and Eve is peculiar to me because you have Adam and Eve, and then they had Cain and Abel. Cain killed his brother Abel because he was jealous that, well, according to the Bible story, it says that Cain killed Abel because he was jealous that God liked Abel's offering to God better than he liked Cain's offering to God. So,
okay.
Which Abel's offering to God was a plant offering, like, I don't know, some vegetables or something. But Cain's
okay.
offering was an animal sacrifice. So God did, I guess God didn't, he said he was jealous because God liked his brother sacrificed better, so he killed his brother. Then he said,
yeah.
According to the Bible in Genesis, it said that Cain, who after he killed his brother, he said, oh, well, God is going to find out that I killed my brother. You know, I got to flee out the garden. So he left the garden, but then when he left the garden, he said, somebody, in the other land is going to see me and they're going to know that I killed my brother and I'm scared. Well, if it was only Adam and Eve, sorry, I'm not sorry, but if it was only Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, who was the other people in, you know, outside of the garden that he was scared of, that was going to find out that he knew his other brother. And then he took a wife. It said he took a wife for the Nephilim, which is another word for the nectars, which is another word for the what they call the gods, or in the English language, we refer to them as the angels.
Okay. All right. So you now, why do you believe, as a young black male in, here in the United States of America, why do you believe that the Valley of the Kings are not well known? Why do you believe it's not taught?
Why is it not? Why people don't really talk about it too much? Well, the scholars.
Why do you believe that the Valley is not well known by black Americans in this country, African Americans in this country? Why do you believe that?
I believe it's systematically and conscientiously and consistently, you know, kept away. I mean, it's not kept away because you can, it's documented, but, you know, if you go, if you study Egypt, if you try to, if somebody is beginning to learn about Egypt, they direct it, you will be directed to the pyramids or the Sphinx or something like that. It's like, it's not very important. But it's important to black people because, specifically, it's important to everybody, but specifically black people, because that's our family tree. And it's also, I mean, according to the story, well, see, you have to hear some of the story, a little bit more of the story to understand what I'm saying.
All right. So I understand what you're saying. I get the gist of it. So do you know anything about Kemet? Kemet is
another word for Egypt.
Okay. Yeah.
It's Kem means black. Kemet means the black land, and that's Egypt.
Okay.
And Egypt Egypt is also known as the land of antiquity in the Bible and other religious works. But in the old dictionary, I found a definition of antiquity. It means where man goes to find out what man knows about God. That's why everybody in the Bible had to go through there.
Okay. All right. I had also read the blog of Daryl, a man by the name of Daryl J. Persidus. And he has a blog, and it's called the Bible and Faith blog, and it's on cyberspace. He took two of the chapters from a gentleman by the name of Peter J. Parrish, and he talks about ethics, and he talks a little bit about African ethics. He says it aims at enabling individual persons to become good so that they will also become a good leaders in their, and he also in their respective communities. He goes on to use an example of good ethics and moral values is Dr. Martin Luther King and Mr. Nelson Mandela, both of who are deceased, of course. He holds them up as role models for African ethics and good moral character. So I found that interesting to me, the way he put that together. So basically, the Nubian spirit, you know, could you please explain to those of us who do not know what the Nubian spirit is? And is it really the oldest religion in the world? Kemetic.
Is
Kemetic the oldest religion in the world?
Well, Kemetic is, that's referred to Egypt. Nubian, that's referred to Kush or Ethiopia, which they say, I mean, Nubia is referred to as the mother of Egypt, where, like, the Egyptian people came from the Nubians, from the Ethiopians. The guy they referred to as Ptah, which was one of the first Holy Trinity. The first Holy Trinity is Amun-Ra Ptah, which is three dynamics of God. Ptah would
trilogy.
Be...
Huh? I was just going to say it's similar to the trilogy in the Bible, Holy Bible. Okay.
The chronology of the three? Well,
yep,
they was born at the beginning. Sorry, I didn't interrupt.
That's okay. Go ahead.
But Ethiopia, okay, Ethiopia is where the word ethics come from. So, yeah, all the morals, I mean, the morals that we have in this society come from there.
Okay. All right. Okay, so I'm going to, I've noticed over the years, as I've gone older and got more mature, hopefully a little wiser, we seem to be the only race of people that do not really know our native language or tongue from the mother country, which is a continent, Africa.
That's a good point.
Do you find that to be true? That we're just about the Mexicans know their language, Chinese, Japanese, but we're about the only group of people in the United States anyway that don't seem to know their native tongue or their native language.
Right.
And I believe,
go ahead,
just because of slavery, they refused to let us speak our ancestors, our ancient ancestors, who were not so ancient. It wasn't that long ago, if you really think about it, speaking their native tongue.
Right. Well,
right,
it would be good for us to learn our native tongue, which is basically referred to as the first language. From my studies, it's the first language. And just learning the creation story, you will start learning some of the language, because I had to refer to the creation story to go into this a little bit, but
take your time.
In the creation story, it's three different parts of the creation story.
Right.
And there's a part called that Nehi, and that's the divine nine. There was nine gods that, well, we refer to as angels, but there's divine nine, and then there's the Agda, which is eight gods that came before the Nehi. And then there's the Memphite theology. But these gods, well, in Egypt, in English, in the English language, we refer to the Egyptian, well, they say Egyptian gods, and they call them pagans. Pagan basically means somebody that's not from whatever country that is saying pagan, you know, basically. So the people that said pagan, they were just talking about somebody from another land, you know, with other beliefs or a different culture. But in the language we speak, that's English, like I said, they refer to them as gods, like it's more than one god. But according to the teachings of Kemet, it's only one god, which is the great mother or the mother goddess. And what we refer to as gods, the gods of Egypt, basically, to put it in different terms, they will be what we call angels.
Okay.
From my understanding, I mean, the children of God, they will be angels. And even down to people, well, in religion, they say, I'm skipping around, but basically, to learn the creation story is to begin to learn some of the original tongue. And the people of Egypt, according to, what's his name, Herodotus, he said, he's credited as being the first Greek writer known. And he said that everybody, well, the Egyptians felt like everybody that was not, that did not speak the first tongue or the original language was barbarian.
Okay. Hold on. I don't know what's going on.
I'm sorry. Hey, I'll have to call you back in like 2 seconds.
Oh, yes, sir. Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. All right, so we have on Show Talk with Angela Butler, Mr. Charles Alvin Allen Jr. III, and what he's explaining is he's a student. He studies all kinds of religions, nationality, cultures, and basically what I take it as him saying is that everything seems to have started in Egypt, and from what I'm reading on these websites, it seems like that some things were stolen from African Americans, our ancestors. They may even call them ancient ancestors, that religion was stole from them. It's almost like, from what I've been reading, that not only did they steal religion, they concealed the truth and made a lie become the truth. If anyone can make any sense of that, that's my take on it. That's my understanding of it, that a lot of things were stolen from Africa, the continent Africa. Now, Charles Alvin Allen Jr. III, back on the phone? Hello? Guess not. Okay. Well, the show has been almost 30 minutes, and there's a lot of people tuning in to hear this gentleman. It's about 30 callers, and I only have room for 50. So, hopefully he'll get back online. But like I said, he was talking about Charles Alvin Allen Jr. III. He's a guest on here on Show Talk with Angela Butler. And he's an activist who educates people about the ancient spiritual teachings, specifically the Nile Valley civilization. Very intelligent about what he talks about. I think he was taken a little bit off guard, though, which I didn't mean to do. So he said he called back in. So there are a lot of things going on here in the United States of America. I sometimes talk to Attorney Malik Shabazz. He is the former leader of the New Black Panthers. And I believe a lot of things he says has been taken out of context deliberately. And I've talked with him, and I've been on his show also listening, not really talking. He has a show on Blog Talk also, somebody close to him. His, you know, profession has a show. And he also has lawyers for just Black Lawyers for Justice. And I was reading online about all the killings and things. He doesn't like it. He says he's tired of going to funerals. That's what he said on my show. I also was able to interview Ms. Dot Scott. She is the NAACP president there in Ferguson, Missouri, where the terrorist Dylan Roof murdered 9 people, a young white male murdered 9 people in the church. So that was an interview that was real emotional for me. Also, I got to interview the first black mayor not too far from where I live in Marianna, Florida, Mr. Elmore Bryant. He's also been on the NAACP for years, many years. He's also the first black mayor, like I said, in Jackson County, Florida, Marianna, Florida. So, I just like I told Ms. Dot Scott, I hate to have had to meet her like that and talk to her because of that, because of the killing, because of the murder of the terrorist Dylan Roof. While we're waiting, I also like to talk about there's going to be another boycott, of course, around the Christmas holiday season. I don't know the exact date. I haven't talked to Mr. Shabazz. I haven't been getting the phone and getting him on the phone in over a week. But I do know he has a show that comes on Sundays. He or someone that partners with him. So that should be interesting. Of course, there will be another boycott. Some people believe the boycott is not going to make a difference, but we have to try to do something. because the killing don't. So the kill, we can at least try to slow the killings down, if, even if we can't stop them completely. And since the prisons on the stock market, which, as we know, in the prisons are human beings, people, humans, that are in those prisons, they're on the stock market too. You can invest in prisons. And that's no different than slavery, where they had black men and women on the auction block. I'm sorry if you don't agree, but that's the way I see things, and that's the way I'm viewing things, because my great-granddaddy was a slave, so he talked to me, and at our family reunions and things, I learned a lot. So basically, even though the interview was for specifically for Mr. Charles Alvin Allen Jr. the third. Oh, I think that's him now. Let me see. Is that you? Are you back? Mr. Alvin? No, I guess not. Okay, so basically, what I like to talk about is what's going on here in Florida. What's going on here in the United States of America is ridiculous. Even though most people who are near my age are older than me know, I believe, as me, the people I talk to, don't believe that the violence and murder has increased or decreased. It's just that the world is so much smaller with the cyberspace, internet, phone, radio, CDs, smartphones. I mean, the world is not actually smaller, but it's smaller in communication. It's not small in communication, because you can just about call me. I've had people call me away from Africa on a smartphone because of Wi-Fi. Several times a day. So basically what I'm saying is the world hasn't gotten smaller, but technology is how everything is getting out. Oh, and I also like to, Ms. Shelley Ross, if you're listening to Show Talk with Angela, please come back on my show and talk about the hanging of your nephew in Mississippi, not too far, but Emmett Till was home. Also, I'd like to talk about Marissa Alexander. She took a plea deal on that Stand Your Ground. So that tells you something. Right there, she must have been pretty scared and pretty pressured. She shot in the air. She's a black female who shot in the air. I also like to talk about make a comment about Miss Cedra Bland, who died in jail. It says she killed herself. I don't believe that. Basically, this has been going on since we were brought here as slaves to the United States of America in one form or another. It seems like dehumanizing black Americans is the end thing now. Maybe I was too young to understand back then when I was in elementary school, middle school, even high school, what this all meant. I just know that I was treated differently when I went to high school and wore my T-shirt that said Reverend Jesse Jackson for president. I was treated much differently than the other black students. And my mom would have to go to school and check on my grades because they were failing me when I wasn't supposed to be failed. But that's another story. Mr. Reggie, are you on the phone? Okay, but anyway, for those of you who are listening, the disenfranchisement, the social ostracization, all this has been going a long time to separate us. One lady pointed out that if you look closely, if you watch close up, and if you people watch, like at the mall or someplace, there can be 5, maybe 7, maybe 10 black people together. There's always going to be a white person in that mix. And she pointed that I'm not trying to be racist. Okay, this is not racist. But it's like that they're to divide some sort of way. But we both all know that we have to live in this world together. We all understand that. We all have to get along. We all are God's children. But the killings are wrong by the police, and it's been going on too long. There have been too many funerals, too many mothers that cried, too many sons and daughters that are gone. And, yes, women are being killed and incarcerated. As a black woman, I can tell you this to be the truth. So I'm still waiting on him to call back in, Mr. Charles Alvin Allen Jr. III. I guess he's having more technical difficulties than what I thought. Okay? So, but we're going to go on anyway. I was reading about, I read that Mr. Daryl J. Percival, and he calls his book Bible and Faith, and he has a blog. And the blog's URL is www.percival.com. And he writes about a gentleman by the name of Paris. He writes, he talks about two of his chapters on his blog. And he says, he writes that Paris, about ethics, African ethics aims at enabling individual persons to become good, so that they will also become good leaders in their respective communities, such as the lives of Mr. Nelson Mandela and Dr. Martin Luther King, who he upholds as examples of moral ethic values. Now, black people do have morals. I don't care what anybody says. We have morals. It just may not always agree with what everybody else does. But to see a young man named Michael Brown Jr., his same first name as my brother, laying on the ground dead like that is sickening. My granddaughter watched, and she shouldn't have been watching such violence. No child should, but it's heartbreaking. Because I have three grandkids. So I'm looking forward to having Mr. Malik Shabazz back on Show Talk with Angela Butler, if I can ever get in touch with him. It's Dr. Scott, the NAACP president there in Ferguson, not Ferguson, but in South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, where the nine murders took place. Looking forward to having Mr. Elmore Bryant back. I hope you hear me. And come back. And Mr. William knows, if you hear this show, which I doubt you will, you're still invited to come back on the show. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties. That's Beyonce's dad. And as you all know by now, this is a versatile show. Covered numerous various topics. Some people say, well, is there any logic to it? Well, I do a little bit of everything. That's why it's called a variety show, Show Talk with Angela Butler. But like I was talking to the gentleman earlier, I was talking to him, talking about the native tongue. And I was saying, and anybody can interrupt and say something, please. I was talking about talking Mexicans, Latinos, Japanese, Chinese. Most people who are in this country know their native tongue. Okay? We seem to be the only race of people who don't know our native tongue. And I think that's where the identity and confusion comes in, at the division. It started with slavery when we were forced over here. Enslaved ships. We didn't want to be here. But now that we're here, they seem to want us gone. You know, and I don't get it. They shouldn't have forced ancestors over here in the first place. That's basically what I'm saying. Also, that for the police, the reason I'm for a boycott, me personally, the reason I'm for a boycott, because I truly believe in my heart that Ms. Rosa Parks, even though she wasn't the first black woman to sit down on the bus, I believe she did the right thing, and I believe the boycott is going to help some. But like Mr. Malik Shabazz, Attorney Malik Shabazz says, the body cameras, he asked me point blank on the show a few months back, how have you been watching on TV these people being killed? I said, cell phone cameras, mobile cameras, recording devices. He said, now, if that's all been recorded most of the time when you're watching whatever network you watch, that's what he said to me, how do you expect body cameras to work with the police when they're already on, most of them already on video? So that gave me a pause about, because we all want to have hope that things are going to get better, especially me. Okay. So he was talking about, he was also talking about the boycott, not spending money. His point is this: when I was talking to him and listening to him on his own show, he commented that that we have to start somewhere, and that the people we're dealing with that's doing the killings are not nonviolent, and that's the point that he made to me is on his own radio show. His close confidant, somebody in his group, he was on, he said, we're not dealing with nonviolent people. We can be all nonviolent all day long, but we're still not dealing with nonviolent people. I asked him, was the boycott, not march, going to be nonviolent? He said, as much as possible, but we're not dealing with nonviolent people. Murder is not nonviolent, especially when you're unarmed. And most of us know that it's illegal here in the United States of America to shoot a person in their back like they did in South Carolina, the police officer did. Most people know that, though, that you cannot shoot somebody in the back when they pose no threat or no harm to you. That was outright murder. Outright murder. So, okay, so are you on the phone? Are you on the phone, Mr. Charles Alvin Allen Jr.? Are you on the phone? Hold on. Let me see if I can. Just got a text. Hold on. But like I said, I've had family members that have been hung, horrible things done to them. And so, but I don't hate anyone. James Meredith is my cousin. And I think we got somebody back online. And I'm trying to get his mic open. Doing my best. They call him for 859. I don't see him anywhere. Hello, Charles.
Okay, I'm unmuted. Yeah.
Okay, hi. Welcome back to Show Talk with Angela Butler. How are you doing, young man?
I'm fine.
That's good.
I've been calling back. I was trying to get back in. Sorry.
Okay. That's all right. That's all right.
I've been listening to you, though.
Okay. Yeah, you've been listening? Yeah, you're educating me because I know very little about the Nile Valley. I've never heard too much in church, in my church that I go to. When I do go to church, I haven't heard a whole lot about it. So I was very interested in what you had to say. I started doing some research on my own also.
Yeah, it's funny to me also, another thing, Egypt is referred to as the land of antiquity, but at the same time, you know, a lot of, even some of the Bible stories is, like, make Egypt kind of taboo, like the bad guy, you know, like they said they had people in slavery, when according to documented history, Egyptians didn't ever have no slaves. And it's just funny to me, and in my study, you know, I mean, well, when I started studying this thing, and I studied the Bible too, and this ain't getting off subject, but I was actually studying some Shakespeare. I was not studying him, I was getting ready to. I heard Tupac say something about a play with a Moor, a black man, and in one of the Shakespeare plays, so I wanted to read that. So I found a book with all the Shakespeare plays in it, a big fat book, and I started reading from the beginning, and then in the introduction, it started talking about King James, and that Shakespeare was King James' main man. You know, he was one of his good friends, and they might even messed around together or whatever, but it was talking about Shakespeare was how he came up and got into to be a playwright in King James's theaters and all his best theaters and everything. But then it mentioned real briefly in one sentence that Shakespeare had translated the Bible. And then it went on to some other things. Right. And this was at the beginning of the slave trade. So that explains some of the, to me, that explained a lot of the themes of the text of the Bible that don't really match up with some of the older texts because, you know, I mean, if they start slavery off and then you got Shakespeare translating the Bible, I mean, he's a good writer, and he can, you know, make that thing go how he, you know, make it sound real good for the other, for, you know, however, you know, for the agenda that they had. I mean, and the agenda being the slave trade they was starting up, they was cranking up. So, I mean, that was just funny to me because I never heard about Shakespeare having nothing to do with the King James Version and no other Bible, you know?
Okay.
And it's funny to me that Shakespeare is, even still today, he's the most uphill writer. Like, you know, you go to college, you gonna study some Shakespeare. But, you know, I wonder how many people know about him, have it translate the Bible, you know, and like a lot of people that's some of my religious friends, I'll talk to them about it. And they automatically dismiss it. Like, nah, Shakespeare ain't have nothing. Shakespeare ain't translate the Bible. Where you get that from? I mean, I didn't just make that up. You know, I read that out of the book. Like, when I read that part, I didn't even want to read the playoffs that I set out to read no more. I was in another direction on my study then. I mean, because to me, like, certain things that I see, I don't have to see certain things with, I mean, I don't know. A lot of black people know how to read between lines, you know, and you see certain things and you can put the missing pieces together. I mean, that's how I feel about that, you know, because like I was saying before, I was interrupted about, I wasn't interrupted, but when we was talking about, it goes into when we was talking about Cain and Abel. Because I don't know, one of my theories is maybe that's their story, you know? Maybe that's their creation story. Maybe that's where the Euro race has their beginnings, you know? That's one theory of mine because, I mean, it's just a theory. I mean, the point about that is because Cain went outside the garden and found a wife, and it says from the Nephilim, which the Nephilim is another word for the Netters, or the Naturals, which are basically the children of gods, like what they call the Egyptian gods. Well, some of the Egyptian gods, and they're basically angels, you know?
Okay. All right.
Which, in the creation, in the,
Go ahead.
Because it's really complicated. But I guess I would like to start, mention while I'm talking about it. It's the first dynasty king. In the first dynasty, the importance of the first dynasty. This is something I never hear a lot of scholars talking about, is the first dynasty. The first dynasty is important also when you talk about the Bible because you see a lot of parts of this story being in Moses' story and Jesus' story, the story of the first dynasty king, whose name is Osiris. They refer to him as Osiris. And the story of him is, they said he descended to the earth because the gods was dissatisfied that men were eating other men.
Okay.
So, he descended to the earth, and he basically laid down God's law. I mean, he descended to the earth in the form of a man, in a man's body. But, you know, well, a lot of people, they like to dismiss it as myth, and mythological and everything. But this man that they talk about, his tomb and his temple is on the east bank of the Valley of the Kings. And his son's tomb and temple is right there next to him, the second king, Heru, or who they call Horus, the original hero. And all the rest of the kings is on the other side of the Nile, and they tombs is facing to the east, you know, like Muslims pray five times a day, to the east, the sun rising from the east. It's like, I mean, just a study of the Valley of the Kings would show that it's not so, the story is not so mythological, to bring it down to ground level of a man. You know, they have gave us the story and called it myth, so we would dismiss it, especially being the growing enlightenment and the conscious movement that's going on. A lot of people waking up, even with the war up in the Middle East or whatever, and the terrorist little stuff they got going on, and they talking about ISIS. Well, ISIS is the first queen. Well, no, she wasn't the first queen, but from the first dynasty, king of the first dynasty, Asar or Osiris, his wife name was Aset or Isis. In Latin, they call her Isis. So I believe, and I feel like in the collective conscious of the people, that's being done for some spiritual reason, man.
I understand what you're saying, because there have been religious wars fought for centuries. Religious wars have been fought for many centuries. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so, I mean, but it's peculiar because, you know, they calling this Arab organization ISIS. They don't really have nothing to do with that right there. I mean, they indirectly, but I mean, like, not indirect, but they religion is something else. They don't have nothing to do with no ISIS or ISIS. But just them being labeled as ISIS and ISIS, because, okay. Let me explain another little thing. I mean, this is just one of my theories. But we made mostly water, a little bit of dirt from the ground. We breathe in air, so we got that in our body. So that's what water, dirt, earth, air. Only other thing you got is fire. Well, that will relate to our spirit.
Yes.
Our spirit is like, it's like light. It could be related as light or fire, like electricity. Your spirit is what is spirit. Your spirit is the real you.
Yes.
Like you look at your body, look in the mirror and you see if I. But I mean, that's you. But that's just like your material body. Your spirit is the real you. That's what you think with. That's what you act with. That's what you feel with. Your spirit. And your spirit is, well, our spirit is a little piece of God in us that been here since the beginning of time. And, well, with your spirit, I mean, just personally, a person have their mind, their soul, their mind, their spirit, and their body. And if they can affect your spirit or your mind, well, if they can affect your spirit, well, okay, like watching scary movies. You know, they plant seeds in people's mind with the movie. Well, not just scary movies, but a lot of other things, you know.
Like the violent game, video games. Games.
The violent video games, the crime raps, the love triangle songs of today, you know? It's a whole different agenda. it's a whole different agenda now, you know.
Yes.
But I feel like that, you know, a lot of people are starting to learn about our ancient teachings and our ancient culture. But that would, like, if for some people that do, I mean, some people that start learning about Egypt, one of the first things they might hear is Isis, the goddess Isis, you know, the first dynasty queen, the first queen of the first dynasty. You see what I'm saying? Who's, she's referred to as a goddess. So that might, like, repulse you, or repulse a person from going farther with that. You see what I'm saying? I mean, with the terrorist ISIS movement that they got, you know, a person might make that connection in their mind. They're like, oh, I don't need to know nothing more else about this. Like what I was saying about when I heard about Shakespeare translating the King James Version, you know, and I ain't need to read that Shakespeare play no more. Well, they might, you know, somebody might want to learn about Kemet the Black Land and how that relates to them, but then they hear ISIS, and then, you know, they might toss that to the side. And I feel like, you know, that's something that's being done on a broad scale, like, to affect the collective conscious of a lot of people, you know, especially Black people.
The humanization to a certain extent.
Yeah, just making it derogatory, just putting a black eye on the teachings, just putting a black eye on the Nile Valley civilization and our family tree. Basically, like they always do. I mean, in my studies, whenever they refer to, like, if you hear a lot of Greek writers, I mean, besides the teachings that might be documented on a temple or on a papyrus scroll or something, you know, a lot of things that some of the things I read about Egypt was from Greek writers. And they always refer to our princesses as prostitutes and our queens as prostitutes. See what I'm saying? They don't refer to them as a great queen or the great princess, such and such. They will refer to them as a prostitute. Like one Greek writer, I heard him say that the Great Pyramid of Giza, well, a princess was prostituted for the Great Pyramid of Giza to be built, which, I mean, it just, you know, it don't make no sense,
yes,
but
that's
what they've been doing. It's terror. It's like cultural terrorism.
Cultural terrorism, right. Right. Mm-hmm. You're right. You're 100% right. It's cultural terrorism. It's strategic. It's planned. It's constant. It's systematic. Yes, sir. You're right, Mr. Charles Allen Jr. III. Okay, we're just about ran. Well, we've been running out of time, but I've enjoyed having you on Show Talk with Angela Butler, Mr. Charles Allen Jr. III. I look forward to having you back, and maybe we won't have so many technical difficulties. Okay?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Also, that's okay. That's okay. You're welcome to come back. You're welcome to come back. I understand. But I also, and thank you, Mr. Reggie. What I'd also like to do is someone send me an email or get on Facebook and let me know, because I've been searching in it for a couple of days, and for some reason I cannot find it. I'd like to know if, about the law that I think is going before Congress or the Supreme Court, where people who are felons and are released from prison, if they can't do a background check for a certain amount of time or something like that are released from prison. I'd like to know, is that just on the federal level that President Obama is doing, or is it on federal, state, and all levels? Because I do not know. I just know there are a lot of entrepreneurs of different races who don't hire black people, but I'd like to know if that's on the federal, state, or all levels. To not be able to do background checks. And if I'm incorrect in that, please tell me, because I like to know what's going on. Also, I'm glad to know, somebody let me know that people who are in prison, who are working in the prison system, and they have felons, this is what kills me. people pay their debt to society. Some of them probably shouldn't even be there anyway. They pay their debt to society, get out and can't find a job. But while they're in prison, let's say they're working for a major corporation, a worldwide corporation. They work for those companies for less than what they'd work for on the outside. These men and women go and apply for a job at the same company that they worked for while they were in the prison system. And they tell them, we cannot hire you because you have a felony. And so somebody let me know what's going on with that law. And if it's already been passed, then fine. I have the internet just like everybody else. I can't find it. So maybe something's wrong with the internet here in Florida, Northwest Florida. But anyway, everyone, I thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Be prepared. Look at my Facebook page sometimes and see when the next boycott starts. And like Attorney Malik Shabazz said, it's not for him. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. And we cost them over $1 billion this last holiday season, $1.4 billion or $1.7 billion. Correct me if I'm wrong about that amount. I know somebody's going to email me or message me. Anyway, everyone, thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. And thank you again, Charles Alvin Allen Jr. III. Everyone, have a good night.